Hey y'all, welcome to Boogie Nights with your host Alexis Chainsaw Massacre. Yes, it is Sunday, the day that I generally do this shit. This is not like any other day though. Here I am in Highland Square of Krakron, Ohio, talking to your good old buddy Cole. And we got a surprise for you today. What are we talking about, Cole?
First of all, I'd like to say it's a pleasure, Chainsaw, to have you over. Also, to all you wildcats out there, Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. We got a special episode coming out today. It's, 'tis the season to be jolly, is what they say on the streets. Am I wrong, Alexis?
No.
Look, here's the thing, folks. Being spooky isn't about a season, it's about a lifestyle. So.
Damn right.
We're here talking about the Christmas demon. The one, the only, the Krumpus.
Yes. And there's a reason I wanted Cole on this podcast specifically.
Why is that, Texas?
Because you lived in Germany. You lived the Christmas demon.
Now, I don't want to seem overdramatic, Alexis, but here's the thing about these Christmas demons we're talking about. Now, most of your podcasts, we talk about flights of fancy, things that we see out of the corner of our eyes, shadows in the dark. These goddamn things are real.
Hell yeah! How do we want to start this?
Well, if you don't mind a little bit of waxing poetically, I'll tell you what I know.
All right.
Well, somebody thought it was a good idea in the Alpine region this time of year, once they were condensing pagan rituals into what we know now as Christmas. Well, they forgot to scratch off one of the devil's handiworks in the Alpine region. It's called the Krampus. It's a half goat, half demon, kind of man-shaped thing that comes down from the Alps, sort of a prelude to Saint Nick coming down to give the kids what they deserve. But well, I'll tell you, these hairy horned motherfuckers—they give the naughty kids more than a lump of coal.
They don't play.
No, they don't play. And since it's the season, I figure I would be remiss if we didn't mention Saint Nick's violent friend.
Yes, his counterpart, his co-worker, so to speak.
Yeah, well, he's not making toys, that's for damn sure.
No. And you know what? The thing I appreciate about this whole thing, it's the ultimate form of scared straight for your kids. Hey, you don't want to behave? You'll get dragged to hell by the Krampus.
Yeah, not only that, he's going to whip you and eat you. But I got to ask, what piqued your interest about these Alpine demons?
You know what? You were going into it a little bit earlier. I love the spooky. Like, you're saying it's a lifestyle. And I don't want that lifestyle to stop just because it's Christmas. And everybody's listening to, fucking Mariah Carey and shit like that. And that's not me.
I was about to make a joke about the only other thing more terrifying than the Krampus.
No, go ahead.
Sorry, Mariah, if you're listening. I love you, babe. It's a bit much.
When you hear it a million times in your lifetime, and one time was good enough.
But I think the Krampus represents more than the spooky. It's about that eternal balance of light and dark that us humans seem to find in every narrative.
Yes.
We can't have gifts without a little bit of punishment.
Exactly.
It's like being spanked, but, by a goat, man.
Yeah, and for those of you that don't know, although I think in the last, 10 years or so, Krampus has gotten a little more recognition around the States.
A little more traction. They made a movie about it.
They did, which, for those of you that didn't listen to my Pobbian podcast, there is an episode strictly about that movie on there, so I don't want to beat a dead horse, but you should watch it. It's pretty entertaining. Actually, Cleveland, Ohio is one of the only places in this country that celebrates Polish heritage. And on Dinkus Day, that parade, they always have a Krampus around. Actually, a few. It's getting more popular, so to speak. So let's go into detail for those of you that don't know. What are we dealing with here? So you had mentioned half demon, half goat.
Well, the actual origin of the Krampus is not very well documented.
No.
We know that it comes from the Alpine region of Central Europe. A lot of different like accounts link it to some sort of like pagan tradition of a horned man, which is unlike Pan or unlike, you know, many of the different like pagan traditions. But why it sort of stuck itself onto the Christmas tradition is what the speculation is about. Now, here in America, if you're naughty, you get coal. Which is what you're all getting an earful of right now. But it seems to be like this balance of light and dark. Reward and punishment. Fear or flight. Just manifested in a slightly sinister Christmas tradition.
Yes.
Now, for those of you out there that I haven't personally met, I used to live in southern Bavaria for a time in my life. And, there were unions of men that would dress up in all the accoutrements of the Krampus, which is fur, horns, usually some sort of whip, either made as a switch or out of leathery bits. Now, it's something to be terrified of, even in real life, because
sure, yeah.
Real people are dressing up, you know, in these costumes and chasing people around real cities, real towns. But why does this tradition have such a prevalence? I think it's because we know that even though we've been nice most of the year, we've been naughty, and there has to be some sort of manifestation of it.
Some kind of consequence. Something to keep you in line all year, so to speak.
Now, you know, getting a lump of coal in your stocking sure isn't the same as getting a toy, but...
But if you like charcoal, then is it so bad?
I guess not. You know, like... Like, if you're like a grill master, I guess you shouldn't be that upset if you get coal in your stocking. But I digress. We're talking about horned goat demons whipping the shit out of you.
Yes, and he has a long-ass tongue, too.
What's the tongue about? Is that if you're naughty or nice?
I don't know. That, you know, that's something I haven't thought about until this moment.
But you're thinking about it now.
But now I'm thinking about it. Unless he uses his tongue to... put up the assholes of young children, and that's probably not a pleasant experience for them. But I'll bet you if Krampus fucking put up a sign at Chapel Hill Mall in Krakron, Ohio, and said free eat-outs, there'd be a line of ghetto bitches wrapping around the city.
No, they'd be raising their hands saying they were naughty.
Yeah, oh baby, I've been naughty.
But maybe that's what's enticing about the Krampus, is that we all know that we haven't been completely nice all year. Maybe we almost want the Krampus. Maybe we want that negativity in the most positive or the most happiest time of all, is what the radio is saying.
And it always makes me think, too, what's the cutoff? There's a lot of gray area in this world. Where does Krampus step in versus Saint Nick? What's the cutoff that Krampus just thinks, you've been a fucking bad bitch all year. I'm stepping and I'm taking you to hell.
You mean you're talking about the very definition of naughty?
Yeah, now, what's the straw that broke the camel's back that sends you to hell versus the kid that, you know, just hocked a loogie in his sister's hair but is generally...
I'm glad you brought up... Now, when we look at Christian tradition, you know, the sins... are very, very well outlined. You shall not lay with another man's wife. Thou shall not steal. Thou shall not covet. Now, St. Nicholas's cutoff has never really been made evident.
No.
Now, you know, some kid's being naughty. He's, you know, hitting people with sticks. Maybe he's, I don't know, harassing geese. You could consider that to be a naughty child.
Yeah, but he has the trademark signs of a serial killer.
Well... Maybe that is the cutoff.
Jeffrey Dahmer Jr.
Well, we are recording from here in Akron.
That's true.
But yeah, at which point does a child go from the nice list to the naughty list? What's the cutoff? And, you know, in the American tradition, you're nice, you get toys. You're naughty, you get a lump of coal. But what is... I feel like the cutoff should have a different threshold if you're naughty that you get dragged to hell and eaten by a goat man.
Yeah, I feel like it'd have to be a... fairly severe thing that you've done.
What's the naughtiest thing you've done this year, Chainsaw?
Ooh, I have to think about this really hard. I've often danced with the line myself. I'm going to have to get back to you on that. I'm going to kind of think about that. What would you say is the naughtiest thing you've done?
Well, sorry, folks. I know dead air is not a good thing, but
it's something you really have to consider and really reflect on the year.
It's fair to say that looking back at this year, I might get dragged to hell and eaten by a demon goat man.
Wow. I was just thinking, this isn't... We were talking about earlier, we had a conversation about how fun it is to be petty. Here's a petty torment of mine. I don't know if this is hell-worthy, but I work in the healthcare field. If I have a patient that's really pissing me off, I crop dust the shit out of them. And that's more petty than it is evil, though, I feel like.
Petty, yes. Evil, no. Naughty, absolutely.
I don't know. Now I'm really thinking about the year. Oh, you know what? Also petty, not evil. When Arlo and I went to Nevada, we were sitting... It was the best birthday ever. We were sitting in a fucking pool in the sun. Girly drinks, because when in Rome, you know normally I'm a beer/whiskey drinker. But when you're in the party capital of the world, you drink strawberry daiquiris, and that is what it is. And then...
Nobody's holding that against you.
And then edibles. So Arlo and I are sitting in this pool, and this kid comes in, skin as pale as Elmer's glue, red hair. And I said, he shouldn't be out here without a t-shirt. He's going to get singed. And just laughing about it, and just like, he can't be out here. He can't handle the desert. He's not a daywalker. What happens to me the next day? I am burnt to a crisp, and I still have those tan lines from 7 months ago. So, you know, what goes around comes around, too. It doesn't always take the crompus to give you what's coming to you.
But maybe that's the crumpus acting year-round, you know?
Maybe. He didn't drag me to hell, but he's like, hey, I'm going to burn you with a little bit of hellfire.
Now, was it particularly evil what you did? No. Was it naughty having that thought about a ginger child? I'd say that's borderline naughty.
Yeah.
And maybe the Krampus was just giving you a taste of the Christmas spirit, you know, in the middle of the summer.
Yeah. But not, like, thinking of what I've done to deserve getting dragged to hell. I don't know. A lot of irreverent humor all year round, but all in all, I keep it pretty light. I mean, I'm kind of a pussy. I mean, I like to party and shit, but I try to be a respectful human being most of the time.
Well, maybe the menace of the Krampus has a farther reaching arm than we are really examining. For example, when you think of Santa Claus or Saint Nick or, you know, whatever Christmas man you believe in, you think of gifts, you think of being rewarded, you think of jolliness and giving. But why wouldn't we have the same sort of mild fear of the opposite, even as adults?
Exactly.
You know, do we understand right and wrong more than ever? Of course. Do we ignore it more than ever? Well, of course, we're adults. But maybe that Krampus, you know, whether it be an Alpine tradition or just a fantasy in our minds, are we any less wrong to slightly have a little bit of a spook from it?
You know what? We're posing a lot of questions today that I've never thought about before. And that's why I love doing this shit, because it's, you know, it's fucking balls in whatever court. And this whole Krampus thing, it provided an element of Christmas to me that I needed. You need a dark side to everything to balance everything out. And who the hell knows who came up with it? There's so much folklore, like the Faust and shit like that, and very, very dark folklore that comes out of the Germanic culture. I mean, you know, Germany, the Slovakian countries, Austria, you know, that whole clusterfuck of sauerkraut.
Well, it's a whole lot of people that are pissed off and cold because they live in mountains. But,
yeah.
You know, it's a far cry from unreasonable that they wouldn't come up with, like, some sort of dark side to a happy tradition.
Yes, and one thing, I actually, We actually both researched for this, which is not common. Generally, Cole's been on the podcast once before. Generally, we wing the whole thing. It's not very well researched. What you guys get is what you get.
To be fair, this is the second take.
To be fair, the microphone wasn't working earlier. It's always something. But we actually did put some research into this, and I was very interested to find out. I knew that Krampus was the, you know, the anti-hero or whatever. He's the dark side to Saint Nick. I didn't realize that they were close co-workers and that Saint Nick would hit him up, the patron saint of children, and say, "Hey, this motherfucker's been bad this year."
Well, prior to Christmas, a few days earlier is Kris Kringle Nacht, which is the Kris Kringle.
And that's December 6th, correct? And then Krampus Nacht is the night before?
Well, prior to the Proto-Germanic tradition of, you know, a bearded man in velvety garb leaving sweets and toys in your slippers or stockings, a couple days before, he would rustle up his, and again, I imagine that we might get some lashback for this. I'm not sure if Krampus is a single noun or if that is also the plural, but Saint Nick would go rustle up his mountain goat demons and say, "Hey, go let the naughty children know that they've been naughty this year." Then they would scoop them up in baskets or bathtubs on some accounts, drag them to the mountains and eat them, at which point the good children would get their reward. Sorry, I'm just thinking about getting dragged away in a bathtub and eaten alive by a goat man. Terrifying.
It's not a way I want to go. You know, maybe drink myself to death, but not getting eaten alive in a bathtub. Fuck that. So that really does keep you in check, in a sense. And one thing that we were talking about earlier, there's, excuse me, a couple things that didn't surprise me, but also I was like, okay. One was that Krampus was banned at one point in Austria because they had a fascist leader. Oddly enough, I didn't see anything about Hitler being against it.
No, Hitler was, you know, obviously part of the Austrian-German culture at some point. I believe that Krampus was banned under the fascist regime because it was tied in to Catholicism and to religion.
Yes.
But I don't know that the tradition ever truly went away. Maybe he just went into the mountains to hide.
It was more of a speakeasy type of situation where it was still going on. It just wasn't...
Well, there was plenty of naughtiness going on during the fascist regime.
Sure.
Maybe the need to be scared straight was sort of lost, but it came back with a vengeance.
Yeah, and that was another thing we were talking about earlier. Krampus was not accepted by the Catholic Church. Still may not be, I don't know, but they don't ban it either. And I know you said you had some thoughts on this that I'm very interested to hear.
You mean as far as the Catholic Church?
Just in general. I know we were starting to talk about Catholicism and Krampus, and you're like, and you started to say something. You said, "I'll save it for the mic."
Well, the Krampus was, you know, obviously a pre-Christian tradition. Again, you know, the horns, the goat man, you know, it alludes to the two-horned one or Pan, or any number of other deities, you know, prior to the Christianization of the Holy Roman Empire and the Alps for the most part. But it makes you wonder if it comes from a Christian sort of lens, why it was allowed to come back, why maybe we needed to allow ourselves to feel something a little bit more primal, maybe be scared of something that was less descriptive, just sort of this beast man that punished those that were wicked. You know, for all intents and purposes, there's a version of that in any sort of religion.
Sure.
But why this one came back and it has been such culturally, like, prevalent, makes you wonder if there isn't something that sticks there.
Yeah. And then it also makes you wonder, as the Catholic Church says, "No, we're not doing this," and all the Catholics kind of, you know, are quietly doing it or whatever, what are the Jewish children doing? Are the Jewish children exempt because they don't celebrate Christmas?
Well, as far as I know, I mean, at least with the Hanukkah tradition, there's no physicality put towards reward or punishment. There's no Santa, there's no, you know, goat demon.
Right.
You know, they celebrate the fact that faith held them through, well, faith and some oil held them through a treacherous time. Now, I believe this has to be like some level of purgatory where if you don't believe in Santa, if you don't believe in the Krampus, then you're sort of exempt from either the pain or pleasure that either of them would bring.
Oh. Sorry, guys, I just ashed on myself. Been chain smoking this whole evening. Don't mind me. So if you're a Bic, it is not a Little Wayne song. It is just us. It just makes you wonder. And you know what? As far as Catholicism goes, I was raised Catholic. Been through the whole shit. Been through the whole shebang. Confirmation, baptism, what have you. First communion. Nothing is scarier than Revelations.
You mean like the New Testament?
Yes.
Are you drawing some sort of comparison between punishment or salvation?
It's, if you think about it, yeah, I guess it is a little bit similar to the whole Krampus thing. I mean, it might be a stretch, I guess, but it kind of has some of the same themes.
Do you think that when you boil down, we'll say Kringle and Krampus, or for American, Santa and Cole. Do you think that, you know, just sort of on some fundamental level, it's just a reinforcement of deistic ideas?
Possibly.
You know, like, all year you think about, you know, whether you're doing good or doing bad, whether you believe in a heaven or a hell, a god or a devil, an Allah or a pig, it just... Do you think it's just sort of like a seasonal reinforcement of ideas just manifested on different characters?
Yeah, honestly. That makes a whole lot of sense now. I'm actually realizing a whole lot about, you know, these stories. They weren't written for no reason. There's, especially back in the day, you read even like the Grimm Brothers fairy tales. They have a moral of the story. Whether it be you'll get your eyes plucked out by crows if you fuck up.
They'll cut your fingers off if you pick your nose.
Yeah, something.
Maybe that's just sort of like an Alpine tradition of like reinforcing good behavior with fear.
Yeah.
But how do we in this modern day, how do we accept the Krampus? Like, what do we do with that in our lives? We know that it's just a figment of our imagination, but here we are talking about it. Is it something that we should fear? Is it something that we should acknowledge? I think so. But in what degree?
Exactly. I think it's definitely the moral of the story is you should mind your manners all year. Don't get too out of line. Don't steal from people. Don't beat people. Unless they provoke you or beat you first. Don't fight, kids. But just keeping you online all year.
Maybe, you know, at least the people that would listen to this will acknowledge that maybe we've been naughty. Maybe we like being naughty.
Who doesn't, to an extent? I mean, nobody wants to be completely good.
I just think it would be a very different tune we were singing if we said, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why, a demon's going to drag you to hell and eat you. Very different song.
You know what? I'm going to recruit DMX to do that. Right before we started this podcast, we were listening to DMX, you read off the Red Nosed Reindeer, Afro Man Christmas. I think they'd be the ones I'd recruit to, but yeah. they're probably like, who the fuck is the Krampus? Like, they...
You know who's going to give you the Christmas spirit? X is going to give it to you.
X going to give it to you. First we go to rock, and then Krampus is getting his chains all wrapped up.
Krampus is in the background with a cup of lean. Just like...
He's got some Colt 45. He's like, I'm ready for this.
But that's the thing. Like they always mention that like Santa Claus or Saint Nick, they're watching us. They're watching to see if we're naughty or nice. The Krampus seems indifferent. So it's really Saint Nick that's drawing the line. Who's really the naughty one? Who's the one we should really be afraid of? Should we be afraid of the goon that's coming to whip us and drag us to hell, or should we be worried about the union boss that's sending him?
Exactly. Yeah, if you want to boil this down to everything we're talking about, Santa Claus fucking snitched. Krampus he's not fucking sitting up in the Alps looking to see who's naughty and nice. He's fucking having a beer, smoking a joint. And then his buddy Saint Nick knocks on the door. He's like, "Got one for you, man." He's like, "Okay."
Yeah, ready? I feel like the Krampus is just like, "All right, like let's roll." Like he's ride or die, but like he's not the one that's like judging.
No, he doesn't have that time. He's got too many bitches to be dealing with that shit. Have you guys ever sat and thought what it'd be like to fuck a half demon, half goat with that tongue? Here we go back. It's all sexual. He's got bitches out the door that he's cycling in and out. Saint Nick comes, fucking cock blocks him. He's like, "Hey, you have to go drag this child." He's like, "Oh, okay. I guess I'll stop my lifestyle for a second and fucking beat these children."
Also, like, first of all, where does Saint Nick get off being the judge of what is either objectively good or evil?
Yeah, what the fuck? He's not Jesus.
No.
He might be a saint, but he's not fucking Jesus.
No, you know, like, that's the thing. Who's really the one that we point the finger at and say, "This is the one that terrifies me"?
And whoever said that Saint Nick was so good, maybe he was at strip clubs every day.
Well, he definitely hangs out at a pole all the time.
Or you do hang out at a pole, though. You know, I would cheers you my drink. This is a booze and brews edition of this podcast, by the way. What made him so good?
Maybe, just maybe, he is the one that's naughty.
Maybe. He, like, fucking hypocrite.
I mean, what do we consider to be a good time? Usually debauchery or things that you might consider naughty.
Sure.
So, where do we get off assigning St. Nicholas to be the person who says, "This is good, this is bad"? You know? He has his own attitude, and
what gives you that right, that power?
Whether or not he sticks these goat demons on you is how we define ourselves as naughty or nice. Whether you end up with a lump of coal or a toy in your stocking is whether you're naughty or nice. Maybe he has a skewed view of the world and we're just marching to his tune.
Yeah. He's orchestrated everything. Let's go back to... You know what? A lot of you haven't seen my bookshelf at home, but there's two books on there. There's How to Interpret Your Dreams, Conspiracy Theories. There's three books, actually. Sex Position of the Day. They all might have some kind of relation. But what I'm trying to say is maybe Saint Nick was orchestrating all of the conspiracies that have happened. He's like the cigarette smoking man from the X-Files. He's on top of it all. But nobody knows. And people don't believe in him, which is understandable. It's pretty far-fetched to think that there's a man that rides in a sleigh from house to house and know what the hell is going on with everything when you can't even keep track of your own life. It's a lot to really wrap your head around. But is it so crazy to think that there's a fucking demon that can drag you to hell? No, that's a lot less responsibility.
I think what's more terrifying is the fact that a jolly old man is the one who decides if the demon is the one that drags you to hell. And also, for those of you out there who like anagrams, can't spell Saint Nick without Ick Satan.
There you go. If you've taken anything from this podcast today, it's that. Now, don't we have another special guest for this podcast?
No, we did. For those of you out there that are listening, I have a twin brother, his name's Christopher. He and I have both been through real-life Krampus laughs, which is when people, sort of like actors' guilds, you know, dress up in all the tropes of a Krampus monster and chase people through the streets. Now, we've really taken it to heart because... Well, let's be honest, kids. We've been a couple of naughty little boys. and we just want to give the Krampus its due. Do we fear it? Absolutely. Do we respect it? Absolutely. And I really think that this marginalized demon that we're all meant to fear and dislike really is getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah. He doesn't get the credit that he deserves. He really doesn't. And actually, Christopher, he gave us our blessing for this podcast, and he sent us a sketch of his Krampus tattoo, which, by the way, is not a fucking pussy-footed, sugar-coated version of it. That is a badass tattoo. It shows his demon side, for sure.
The child is generally genuinely terrified.
And that's what you need. But that's not even the guest I was referring to. I did want to dedicate this podcast to him. But remember Mr. Freeman, he was on here earlier. He just left. You guys just missed him. We were having some grilled cheese and tomato soup with Morgan Freeman. And wait a minute, he might still be in here.
Yeah, I think he's in the shader. I'll go get him.
Alright. God damn it, Morg, what are you eating? Oh, great.
Well, I'm sorry, Alexis. It's just that those whole grains were going right to my stomach.
Oh, thank you for coming out of the shitter, Morgan. What are your feelings on the Krampus?
Now, when I was a boy, I was always told to do right and not fight. That always did me right. Now, as far as I can go about these goat demons, well, here's what I have to say. Morgan? Where the fuck did he go?
Is he doing mushrooms with the kids at the elementary school?
Morgan! I don't really know what to tell you guys. Mr. Freeman is occupied right now.
For all we know, I think those were Krampus hooves.
I'd rather not think about it.
God rest his soul. I didn't expect him to go that way. But he must have been a naughty boy.
Yeah, must have been.
Well, that's a fucking buzzkill. You work so hard to get Morgan Freeman to your house, and then he just gets dragged away by a demon.
Now, he usually rolls around to kill the empty soldiers,
Yeah, so I don't really know how to feel about that. Do you have any more you'd like to comment on the Krampus? Is there anything major that we're leaving out?
I think we've covered a lot of bases, but I just want you all to really think on what you consider naughty and what you consider nice. I also want you to consider the fact that the Krampus, of its own volition, is not doing its bidding. It's doing its master's bidding. So who would it really be afraid of? The Krampus or St. Nicholas?
You know, and just now when you said that, I would love a movie where Nick Cage plays St. Nick. And he has this moment where he's overcome. He's just so happy that he's selling these children to hell, essentially. He's just in front of this mirror with his big beard going, just doing his Nicolas Cage freak out. Where are you, Nick Cage? Please.
Hey, Nick Cage, you're listening to this.
Which, you know what, that'd be my dream. And I know I've told you all this, but Nick Cage was actually a few years ago in my hometown making a movie. And I missed him. Members of my family met him, said he was nothing but nice. I did everything I could. I went down to the shopping center. I waved my Nicolas Cage pillowcase. He didn't come. And I told my fiance, who wasn't my fiance at the time, but I told him, say, you know what, worst case scenario, I won't meet him. Best case scenario, we'll be great friends, possibly pen pals. He might invite me to his Yankee Candle party in his fucking haunted New Orleans mansion. He may. I don't know. And I had a heightened moment of hope, and that's why I deleted Twitter. Well, many reasons I deleted Twitter, but I thought that Nicolas Cage was trying to talk to me. He messaged me. He was like, "Hi, fan, how you doing? I'm just talking to him back and forth." He kept telling me, "God bless you." And I knew
couldn't have been Nick Cage.
No, he's not God blessing me. He fucking eats mushrooms with his cats. He bought the fucking Marie Laveau mansion or whatever in New Orleans, became bankrupt off of it. He don't got God in him. But think about that. Actually, that'd be an even better movie. If Nick Cage was playing St. Nick, and then the Krampus. And he's just, the whole movie is just him just reversing roles. I think he played both roles quite nicely.
I'm just enjoying this because, like, would it really be, like, a boogie or, like, a... or like, would it really be a spooky podcast without there being some sort of, like, Kickless Nage rant in it?
No! The last podcast, I talked about how I got a fucking Nicolas Cage pillow for White Elephant that you move the sequins and it turns into his face. I won't even sleep on that. I'm too afraid to taint my fucking facial oils with it. Because I'm a greasy motherfucker.
I am thinking about, like, sort of, like raising Arizona Nick Cage being sort of, like, this young, sort of, like, inspirational Santa. And then there being, like, this sort of, like, beat-down, trodden wicker man, Nicholas Cage. Like, as the Krampus. Like, it's still the same person, but, like...
We're leaving Las Vegas. You ever seen that where he's just, like, a drunk?
Yeah. Dude? Like they know they're bad. They don't enjoy it, but, like, that's just who they are. Nicholas Cage, if you're out there, go ahead and find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Let me know if you're actually a Christmas demon, because it would answer a lot of the questions I've had in my life.
Yeah, we've been posing all these questions, but if we just found out that it was you, then it'd be a closed case. I would never question any of it again. It would all wrap up into one. It would explain everything. So Nick Cage, if you're listening, please tell us you're the Krampus. Is I guess what we're trying to get at here. And you know what? As we're talking about this, I'm just thinking, what if Nick Cage replaced Tim Allen in the Santa Claus? And he's just, but there's more drugs involved with it, where, like, after he drops off his kid and is all salty and divorced, he's just, like, doing a line of blow, and then he falls in the Santa Claus costume.
Are you trying to say that Nicolas Cage in a Santa Claus movie might be into the snow?
Possibly.
By the way, kids, you know why it's not snowing for Christmas in Ohio? Because those dumb motherfuckers might try to snort it.
You might get quite the brain freeze. One thing I used to do when I was a kid, me and my one friend that lived down the street, we used to take fucking Flat Pop and dump it in the snow and make fucking slushies out of it. That's the only way Flat Pop is actually tolerable.
You mean ICP snow cones?
Yes! Yeah. How do miracles happen? I don't know.
Fucking magnets. How do they work?
Well, I don't know. Fuck scientists.
Well, what message do we want to take away from this chat? Have we really learned anything, or have we really just sort of, like, laid our cards on the table and accepted the fact that there is a darker side of Christmas, but it's a necessary side of Christmas? I mean, if St. Nicholas or Santa is the light in the darkness, the light always casts a shadow. Now, if Christmas is about Jesus or Allah or Yahweh to you, the light always casts a shadow.
Always.
So I think maybe what we need to at least make clear that we acknowledge is that every holiday is a spooky holiday when you look at it from the right angle.
Oh, yeah. And one thing that I actually think I've taken away from this podcast is that Saint Nick is the one to be afraid of.
You mean Ick Satan?
Ick Satan! That, honestly, is what this has turned around to me. And I can't unsee that now. Now every time I see Santa Claus, I'm going to be like Charlie Day and it's always sudden, you fuck my mom, Santa? You fuck my mom? By the way, if you guys, A, haven't watched It's Always Sunny, get on it. B, watch the Christmas episode. Spoiler, Danny DeVito comes out of a fucking leather couch naked.
Oh, yeah. Shameless plug. We love Nicolas Cage, and we love Charlie Day. Shameless plug. So if either of you ever happen to listen to this, you guys do good work. We really appreciate it.
We do, and if ever you wanted to come on here sometime, I doubt it. You're not one of the six listeners, but
I'm one of the six listeners.
if you are, would love to have you on, guys. We were talking about hot sauces and shit earlier. There's a YouTube series called Hot Ones. Have you ever seen that?
Is that where they, like, make celebrities eat hot wings?
Yeah, the Charlie Day one is great.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
It's very much worth your time. And Nick Cage, though, I feel like he would just snort that shit, and it wouldn't affect him at all.
Nicolas Cage is hot sauce.
Nicolas Cage is also the top of my Christmas tree, because he is the only star that matters. And I don't think I have too much more to say other than that.
Well, I think that really wraps it up with a nice little Christmas bow, doesn't it?
Yes. So, I'm glad, if you guys are listening, thank you so much. Thank you, Cole, for coming on the show. Sadly, we couldn't have Christopher, but perhaps some other time.
There will always be another time, because there's plenty of things that are spooky.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't stop being spooky around here, especially in good old Ohio. We have the most haunted shit. We have the most haunted houses.
Well, I'm happy to have you in the Fen of Shadows.
Oh, yeah. And actually, weird side note, Cole lives in a haunted area of town. We'll talk about that some other time.
Oh, that's going to be like its own episode.
But you know what? If I'm being super honest, I think I have to shit. I've already had one incontinent episode with urine, not shit. But that's still enough for me to want to make myself go to the bathroom. I'm not going to go into too much detail about that. Luckily, I have leather seats in my car. Pretty easy to clean. Go Clorox wipes, thank you so much.
If that doesn't put you on the naughty list, I don't know what does.
You know what? Take what you will.
Hey, Merry Christmas, you dirty animals.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Watch Krampus, watch all the Krampus folklore, read about it, go sit on his lap for Christmas and get beaten by chains. Do what you have to do to get in the spirit.
We love you, Mr. Cage.
We love you, Mr. Cage and Mr. Day. All right, y'all. Peace.